That room noise was brought to you by Zoom H6 and Shure microphones. Thank you.
And with that, welcome to Floating Nifty Podcast. My name is Shouwen.
And I'm Noah.
And I'm Jieke.
Welcome, Jieke.
It's good to be here.
Our cousin is here to drink tea with us today. And pretty soon we'll have a story on our website to tell you why Jake is our cousin.
True. I think some people might be wondering about that.
So, Jake.
Yes.
Jake brought a tea for us to drink today. And what's the tea?
The tea is Rogue from the Zhangyang area of Wuyishan. And this one is from an area called Lotus Peak, which is one of the 36 peaks in the scenic area.
Lotus. Is Lotus Lianhua?
Lotus
Peak. Lianhua?
Lianhua
Yan.
Yes.
Or Lianhua Feng, maybe.
Lianhua Feng.
Lianhua Feng?
Yeah, I think
okay,
so.
Cool.
Yeah, so this is a tea from my friend Li Huarong, who owns Tongxinshi Tea House in Shenzhen.
Mm. Well, thank you for bringing the tea to share.
Of course.
We are very excited to try it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Let's see. So now is the first infusion. Smell toasty and sweet at the same time.
Mm, roasty and toasty.
Let's see. Ooh, my brew is strong, huh? But it's still okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's got some backbone.
It has a really nice, almost bubbly spreading feeling in the mouth. It's really bold, huh?
Yeah.
It's bold, but it actually has a lot of
solid foundation.
Yeah.
So for me, the feeling is very interesting and unique. I don't feel that the liquid puff, and yet when the liquid hit the mouth, I feel something is puffing in my mouth, but not the liquid.
Huh. Interesting.
I really enjoy this phenomenon.
Hmm. Huh.
Yeah. So we'll see if this second time it show up again. Really solid tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this one. I like, this was always, Rogue was always one of my favorite varieties of rock tea.
Mine too.
I don't know why. I just really, I've always liked it. And I think it's one of the leading varieties in Wuyishan right now. Like when they do the tea competitions, I think Rogue gets more submissions than any of the other teas.
Oh,
interestingly
that's
enough. Yeah, even more than Shui Xian and Donghongpao.
Hmm.
But between this one and I have also a Lotus Peak Shui Xian from the same area. And between the two, I don't know which one I like better. I haven't really done them side by side, but they're both nice.
Seems like Rogue, they usually do it a pretty bold on the roast.
Right, yes.
But I like how it feels more heavy. I like in a rock tea when it feels a little bit more heavy.
Yeah.
But usually the Rogue that I've had in the past is really mostly on that bold flavor that kind of hits it first. And then the after effect is more of a afterthought.
Got it. Yeah.
Mm.
You know?
Yep.
This one, the feeling, the salivation afterward is actually really nuanced. It feels really good.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, a lot of the rock teas I'd had in the past were just, you know, very aggressively roasted. So, you know, if I were to get a new tea that was a year old, I would usually want to let it rest for a year or two, maybe, or at least a few months. These ones seem like the roast is maybe not as aggressive, I think. So,
so is this year's tea or
this
last
is this
year?
Year's? Yes.
This year's tea?
This is this year's tea. I believe it was picked in May.
Oh.
And then processed by his family. So they own a couple of farms in the Banyan area, which is the Half Cliff Tea area right outside the scenic area. And they have, I think, four tea farms there that they produce. They make their own teas. But then every year they also buy some teas from the scenic area, Zhangyan area, and then they process those ones.
Hmm.
All his Zhangyan teas are roasted by his aunt, who is the deputy director of the Wuyishan Tea Research Institute.
Mm.
And then her son, Gao Peng, is the person who does all the roasting on these teas.
Yeah, for a new tea, I think it's actually quite ready.
It's really balanced already.
Yeah.
To be drunk.
Sure, and I'm curious how this tea will age in another 6 months as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I like about it. The roast is pretty well integrated. And a little background, Li Huarong is a friend I met on Instagram in 2018. And, you know, we had a lot of conversations online, and then he invited me to come in spring of 2019, May, to join him when his family was doing the picking of a lot of these teas. And so I went with them for a couple of weeks, and we spent time, drove up from Shenzhen and went to Wushan. And so I got to see the whole processing and all that kind of stuff and document it, which was pretty fun.
Mm. The color is really beautiful, kind of amber-colored broth.
Yeah, strong throat sensation and presence, and the liquid actually move into the chest, so that's good.
Yeah, what I like about a lot of these teas, too, is after you drink them, sometimes... Not so much with this tea, but with a couple of them, the flavor almost comes back stronger after you swallow it. I've had experience where it was just really, really strong. I could taste it in the mouth, like and sometimes even pick up on the floral or the fruity aspects after I'd swallowed it, which is kind of fun.
Very fruity, the empty
Very
cup.
Very fruity, yeah. It's a nice tea to drink on a cold, slightly cold, rainy Seattle day.
Yeah, bold and toasty, fruity. And yet not over kind of just bold in the beginning.
Charcoal-y,
just a very balanced kind of strongness.
A lot of roast can kind of overpower the tea at first, especially. Because they do three roasts over several months. It's like a very prolonged, process. So it's it can be kind of aggressive sometimes. And I find it very warming too, which is nice. A lot of, pour, that kind of thing this time of year. I drink a lot of this kind of tea and it's very, very warming. That roast on there.
Clean feeling?
Yeah, clean.
Yeah, very clean. It's a clean tea.
I want to say they're not... I don't think they're... Yeah, I want to say that these are organic as well. I think they use just natural fertilizer.
Natural fertilizer, yeah. Okay.
So I want to say they are organic as well.
Yeah, it moves down. I feel more of a presence in the throat.
Yeah, the throat.
And especially, it actually moves a little bit back to the back. I don't feel it as much all the way down like to my...
Sure.
My belly more kind of a horizontal movement.
Yeah. So Jake, also tell us exciting news.
So after
tea only. Yeah, thank you.
Tea related. Yeah, exciting. I don't know if I have any other exciting news. So when I was there visiting him, I tried a bunch of his teas and I really liked them. And I came back and he kind of suggested that I maybe try and sell some of his teas. And I kind of hesitated at first because I didn't want to get into the tea business. I have a lot of respect for people in the tea business because it's not an easy one. It's a tricky business, I think, especially, with traditional Gong Fu style brewing and Orthodox Chinese teas. It can be challenging, I think. Mm-hmm. But I did decide to get, I have acquired, six teas from him, six different Yen Cha teas.
Awesome.
And I opened up a website, which just went live this morning.
Whoa.
Yay.
And I'm calling it Nine Dragons Teas. And the website is www.ninedragonsteas.com. So just carrying a couple select teas from him that his family produced, and kind of just focusing on that kind of niche of rock teas, and so that's the news.
I didn't realize your website went live this morning.
I've been kind of plugging away at it. I actually had it live last night around like 11 o'clock, but I decided to wait till today to announce that. So
yay. So when you guys have time, take a look. Check out the Cliff Tea.
Drink Jake's rock tea.
Thank you. I'm a big fan of my buddy's, just the way he conducts business and his teas. I like his teas. So I thought it'd be kind of fun just to do this on the side as a kind of a small project, in addition to the photography that I do. And
and if you have any houses that need photos taken of, you can also talk to Jake.
I do that too. We can take pictures and drink tea.
Do you know if these teas were roasted with charcoal?
I believe they were roasted with charcoal, yeah. And I believe it was three different roasts spaced out. I know that they picked the tea in May, and then I don't think the teas were ready until like September or October. So it's quite a process, and they only pick once a year. So some of the teas are from his family farm, and then some are from the Zhengyan area that they picked this year. And a lot of their teas, I think, are actually sold. So he has two main uncles that produce, I think they own the tea farms. And they produce a lot of tea every year. Two small families, they do a lot of output. And I think a lot of his teas, like his more rare varietals, he ends up selling to a big company, multiple kilos that he sells directly to them. So sometimes it's harder to get some of the more rare varieties. And so right now I have, I think, four different varieties, six different teas. And at some point I might try and get a few more of the rare varieties. to try.
What is the Jungyan area?
The Jungyan area is, so Jungyan is like True Cliff. So that is the actual, it's the UNESCO World Heritage Site, the kind of the Wuyi Mountains proper. So anything that's grown in kind of the scenic area of the Wuyi Mountains. And that area has its own unique microclimate, you know, with you have different peaks and stream areas and different pit. You have different pits and different all sorts of different, in, you know, microclimates within that one main area. And so based on where they're grown, the teas will get more sunshine, less sunshine, etc. And then obviously the soil there is volcanic and it's very, has a lot of mineral content and a lot of just good nutrients in the soil. So it's just really good environment for growing tea. It's a beautiful place to walk around. When I first went there, I remember just seeing how beautiful it was. You can walk through that whole area and you're just surrounded by rocks and tea bushes and nature, you know. So it's really just a beautiful area.
Yeah, I heard it's like one of the most beautiful tea places on earth.
It was my favorite place in China that I, when I first went there in 2014 with a friend, we walked through that area and I fell in love with it. It was like almost like stepping back in time kind of feel to it.
Wow.
Just, you know, yeah, really, really kind of magical. So yeah, so the teas that are grown in that area just have a little more going on in terms of mouth, I think in terms of mouthfeel, minerality, all that kind of stuff. It's kind of a step up from Banyan teas, which are grown outside that area, just outside that area. And then you have a lot of teas on the market that are grown, not even in the Wuyi area, that are labeled as, you know,
Wuyi cliff tea.
So you do notice a difference when you try kind of side by side that, it, you know, you get into the Jungyan teas and there's definitely more going on. And the prices can be pretty expensive. Some of the areas can be super expensive for some of those teas. You know, usually you might find them for like a dollar a gram, but there's, I think there was a Rogoi that sold in the inner core area a couple years ago for like $35 a gram.
Wow.
So just really, the output's pretty low, and so it's pretty high demand. So some of those teas go for pretty astronomical prices.
Yeah, we heard of that kind of the same phenomenon also from Taiwanese tea roasters. Some of them really like Wuyi cliff tea, and but they go into buy tea and they're just like, wow, right now is the good price ones are really expensive.
Yeah,
really hard to, in a way, to acquire those teas and then bring it back to Taiwan and then use charcoal to roast it.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so the teas that I have, the six that I have, I actually have one more coming as well. It's Wusan Di Shui Xian. And so my the price range that I'm going to have between the Banyan and the Jungyan teas is anywhere from 30 cents a gram all the way up to two competition teas that are like $1.20 and $1.60 a gram. So, you know, up there. He had a first place Shui Xian and a second place Rogoi. So those are obviously going to be the most expensive that I'm going to carry. So that's kind of the range.
Cool.
It's got a big presence in the throat. Lasts for a long time.
Yeah, this one is big on the throat. Will be interesting to see actually develop for a while, because right now I have to say the fire is very layer.
Yeah.
The presence of the fire, the feeling of the fire, but not a really super, you are right, not your super typical, you know, like, wow, I'm so strong.
For how fresh it is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But you can sense the fire presence, yeah, in the scent and in the drinking.
For sure.
So it will be very fun to see when the fire started to tune in with the tea. I think the tea will get even bigger.
Yeah, and we can compare this one. We can compare this one with the competition Rogoi, which I feel is even lighter on the roast and even sweeter, more like more honey and kind of just like a sweet character to it. But I think too, the way these are processed with how they're roasted and everything, the thing I like about them is they're pretty easy. I can drink them pretty much any time of day. They don't seem like they're super super high in caffeine content compared to some other teas. So they're not like, it's not like a really, you know, uppy tea. I find that they're more grounding and that kind of thing. So that's also what I like about it. I can drink them in the morning or later at night.
Well, if you can you can drink pour at night, you can drink this.
True. Sometimes midnight pour sessions.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, it gets me though. Even show pour, I've been taken by surprise a couple times drinking show pour, thinking no big deal, and then
can't sleep.
And then I can't sleep. And I have to say, I've mostly when I've been evaluating these teas, I've just been drinking with a Gaiwan, which I don't use as often anymore. I normally go for teapots, but I have a small little red Juni pot that I mostly brew for myself. But when I want to kind of compare them, I've been using a Gaiwan. But mm-hmm. I have to say, the way that Shoen's brewing these right now is really nice, with a small Yixing pot and no Gongdao Bei, just right into the cups. And it's really, really a nice way to brew this tea.
So how do you notice the difference then, if you use a Gaiwan with this tea?
Yeah, using a Gaiwan in pretty short steeps, I think then you do notice the roast a little more too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think the clay is maybe...
Oh, take the roast in a little,
more
bit,
of, the roast in it. Yeah, it just mm-hmm. has a different character. Just, you know, brewing it this style without a Gongdao Bei is... There's something about brewing this way too that's just a little different, and I don't even know exactly how to describe the difference, but just the character of the tea itself just has a really nice roundness to it.
Mm. And now the salivation is really good.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, and then we can compare with the competition Rogue.
Sure.
Mm. Oh, smell this. So I just warm up the second Rogue tea, and it's a competition winning tea.
Yes.
And the dry leaves, even warm up leaves, have a very strong dark smell.
Mm.
Really nice. Smell nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Very fragrant. Okay, now we are going to do the first infusion of a second Rogue cliff tea. Won a competition this season, right?
Yes, the 2019 Wushan Spring Tea Competition.
Whoa.
This one won second place out of 2,000 entries.
Whoa. Yeah, feels so expensive. I always tell people I really love expensive things. Including tea.
After I go on this podcast, the price is going to double.
I think you are overestimating the power of floating tea. You say the roast is lighter?
So I think it's a little, again, I haven't compared this one with the other one, but from my knowledge, I've had this tea just a couple times, but I want to say the roast to me tasted lighter than the Lotus Peak. Yeah.
But it's still, the liquid feel is still quite dark, though. That's
pretty dark,
nice.
Though, yeah.
I actually like weak cliff tea to be a little bit more rich than those light stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
You like everything to be a little bit more rich.
That's true.
Yeah.
You ask them to roast it again.
Yeah.
I tend to like more roasted teas as well. I think, overall, I drink more of that stuff. But, there's a big difference roasted a lot and roasted well.
But you are right, though. The first infusion of this tea, just
a little more fruity or
surface smell, it feels brighter.
A little bit. I mean, it's not like a huge difference, but I feel like maybe just a little bit.
Yeah, there's more brightness peeking through in the top of the surface mm-hmm. smell.
Yeah, and the first sip compared to the previous tea feels more elegant.
Yeah.
Mm.
The liquid feels it's softer, more viscosity.
Softer. Mm.
And the previous Rogue has a little bit more
big, bolder
character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bolder character.
Yep.
The first tea is a big hairy man, and this one is a man that's done a little bit of manscaping.
Yes.
He has a
finely groomed mustache with a little bit of wax in it.
And the first one is a big, gnarly beard.
Yeah, he's just coming at you.
Okay. But the same thing, though,
the throat is really big.
The
in it.
Throat sensation and spread to the back of the neck. Also very strong. It also has a very strong presence on that one.
Mm.
I think this one might also move a little bit more.
I feel that too.
Pass in the chest area, the liquid, have a higher capacity to move. But it is a quieter tea. This is not a quiet tea, but compared to the previous Rogue, it is a quieter tea. So not sure if people can sense the passing. Mm. So if you guys decide to purchase this tea, just sit with it and watch the liquid moving into your stomach. It's actually quite nice.
It's definitely softer.
Yeah, softer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting more of like sweet, kind of like honey, sort of like the returning sweetness on it is kind of just very honeyed, like mm-hmm. kind of sweetness to it.
And elegant, more small moving parts.
Yeah, more elegant tea. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had a lot of competition tea. I'm not always the biggest fan of competition teas, but you know, I figured if I can acquire some, why not? Mm-hmm. But I like this one. Yeah. And I haven't compared, again, I want to do more comparisons, like more cupping style comparisons, blind. I did do a blind taste test with First Place Shui Xian and the Lotus Peak Shui Xian. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting, really interesting to compare the two. I think that's a great idea for anybody to do. Figure out what you like, regardless of what the price point is. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Figure out what style you like. And
there's sometimes you just want a big hairy dude and you don't care if he has a waxed mustache or not.
Right, right.
Okay.
Right?
Are you asking Jake or are you asking me?
I personally don't want to. But I don't think I want a big hairy anything. But
and that is too personal for me to answer the question.
Oh, snap.
But seriously, sometimes it feels better to have a really rich, bold tea. Like sometimes you just prefer a more rich, bold tea. Like the Farmer's Choice Baozhong, the price is actually lower than the competition style Baozhong. Mm. And the broth, it feels just more big.
Right.
But like if someone comes in the shop, I wouldn't say, if you have the money, you have to buy the competition style. What I mean?
Sure. Yeah, and obviously competition teas, once they've won in a competition, the price is going to be inflated because there's only so much of the tea that's made, of course. But people get tripped up on price points thinking the more expensive it is, the better it must be. If somebody says, hey, I like this tea far better and it's a third of the price, then that's great.
It's second or third infusion? I forgot.
I think this is third.
Third? Yeah, it is a softer tea.
Yeah.
So T1, T2, Rougui, 1, 2. Which one do you like?
I think for me personally, I mean, there's character things about this that I like, but I think the first one is more my style. But I'd be curious to try that tea after it's rested, even like 6 months, and see how it compares then. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like this one already is a little bit lighter on the roast.
Yeah.
Smoother for sure, but like for a daily drinking tea, I would probably choose the first one. Mm. Yeah.
How about you?
If you smoke cigarettes and eat betel nut, you're going to want the first tea.
Well, maybe that's why.
If you,
I like it.
If you wash your face with expensive scrubs and go to the salon to do your hair, you're going to want the second tea.
That sounds very familiar.
If you drink 20-year-old scotch, second tea.
If you drink 50-year-old scotch,
first tea.
Second tea. If you drink this year's scotch, probably first tea.
If you like Laphroaig 10, first tea.
Okay. I think I prefer the second tea a little bit.
You prefer the second one?
I like things with just a little bit more... I do like the first tea, but I do like things with a little bit more intricacy.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a little bit more interesting to kind of watch that unfold. But I do like the big flavor in the first tea. I like them both quite a bit. But yeah, the second tea, if I'm going to have to choose one over the other...
Mm-hmm.
So, first one is Zhenyan Rougui.
Yes.
Okay, and the second one is the competition winning second place Rougui, just to let you guys know which Rougui we are talking about.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And I can't remember the area that this one came from off the top of my head, but I have that information on my website.
NineDragon.com. Yeah?
NineDragonsTea.com, yes.
Oh, sorry. NineDragonsTea.com. Not just Nine Dragon, okay.
There is another site that has it's Nine Dragons. I think it might even be NineDragonsTea.com, and it's some sort of film or something, but it's spelled with a number 9 as opposed to
spelling.
Spell it out.
Yeah.
Spelling it out.
Don't go to that other site. It's bad.
Hey.
What?
Cut it. What if they are listening to this?
I doubt it. But.
So, number 9 must be my lucky number because I have Cloud 9 Photography and now 9 Dragons Tea. So, number 9 must be my, that's my magic number, I guess.
Mm. It's a good number, 9.
It's the last, 9
plus
9
is 18.
9
plus 18 is 27.
Ours is 2.
Our lucky number is two.
Double dragon.
Double dragon.
Oh. I think that's an offer by Cousin Rich.
Okay.
Double dragon tea.
Double dragon tea. Black dragon tea. Yeah.
Do you have a preference between this tea and the first tea?
I like the first one.
Mm.
Mm.
I like its potential.
Mm. Mm.
I think it's if I store both of this tea for a year, I think the first tea might actually become more interesting in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like that.
Yeah,
feature.
I'm kind of the same. I kind of want to see how it would develop, maybe a little bit.
And I think I'm just like as Noah said, I just like generally bigger, anything more, a little bit bolder teas. Sure. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. There's definitely a point there where it crosses. Where if you're drinking a tea and the roast totally overpowers it, and all you're tasting is charcoal.
Yeah, not those kind. You know?
And
yeah.
I've had teas that
those are not too interesting. Those are not interesting sure. to me. But within the roasted context, and they say both of the teas are good, I actually like it just a little bit richer.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would probably be my preference as well. I tend to go more for, and obviously, especially this time of year, but in general, I prefer the darker side of oolongs than the lighter side. Mm. I would say I drink more often. So like, a charcoal roasted Ali-san, I'll take that over a greener style Ali-san.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But this tea does have more, I think, physical, but very gentle, but it has more physical energy than the first one. So keep both of the tea for a year then. We'll
keep
have
them both for a year.
We'll have a
reunion.
Two dragon combat.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I'll probably take a little bit and save. I don't have a ton of tea right now anyways. I have, I think, a kilo of each one.
Mm.
So, you know, it's pretty low quantity right now. And then and then the award-winning teas I only have half a kilo of. So there's really not a lot to save there. But I might try and just take a little bit and see how it is.
Yeah.
And, yeah. See if it's tea I can, the Lotus Peak might be a tea that I can acquire more of later on.
Mm-hmm.
I think the competition teas are pretty close to already being sold out from my friend in China.
Oh, so, wonderful.
Yeah.
Lai lai.
I think this is towards the end of the session, so we are going a little bit more on the crazy side now.
Newbie.
Beep. Oh, sorry. Ah. It's like 10-second delay to beep your word. Beep.
Suddenly my microphone was just turned off for some reason. My voice got really quiet.
Well, thank you for bringing this two rogues. It's really fun.
Thanks for
to compare. One is so is bold and yet good, and second one is bold and very, on the softer side, very elegant. And I like both.
Thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers. Ganbei.
Ganbei, cheers. Yeah, so thank you for listening. If you have time, check out the ninedragonstea.com and also check out floatingleaftea.com, of course. And
tell your friends about the podcast. Tell your friends about Jake. Tell your friends about tea.
Sure, yeah. So we're so awkward right now. I think we are going to just stop the session here, and we are going to drink one more tea without recording it, so that we don't go crazy.
谢谢。
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 See you Monday.
Bye bye.
再见。